everybody, and welcome to a brand new installment of Nintendo News Report for Tuesday, June 16th, 2015. I am your host, Alexander Kulafi, and today we bring you a very special Nintendo News Report with a specially constructed super team of Nintendo World Report podcast representatives. I'm with you
from super team.
A super team, a podcast project cross zone, if you will. I am Alex Kulafi of Nintendo News Report, and I am joined by Donald Mick of Nintendo Free Radio.
I wouldn't call this Project Cross Zone because there is absolutely no fan service today.
Oh.
What you think?
Oh.
That's what you think.
James Jones of Radio Free Nintendo.
Keeping my clothes on for the remainder of this podcast, fan service needs aside.
And Nicholas Bray of Nintendo World Report Connectivity.
Hey, guys. Hey, everyone.
Hello.
This is our transnational, transcontinental Nintendo Digital Event Reaction Show.
It is like 3 o'clock in the morning for Nick. I don't know how he's doing this.
It is 3:48 a.m., yes.
Oh, it's almost time to get up.
Yeah.
So you're fine.
That's right.
So, the most important time of the year has come and gone. Nintendo's digital event where they announce all of their brand new hot stuff. Probably second to Christmas, if not over Christmas, is like my most anticipated time of the year in general. And they brought their B-minus game.
I thought we were going to start trying to be nice.
I am, James.
You are, yes. They brought a version of a game today.
They brought their Zero game.
They brought
their Amiibo game.
They brought their Kaizo game. Mario Brothers.
Yeah, they did.
It was
mm-hmm. I apologize for all the tones going off. That's the E3 show team texting me right now. Alright,
yeah.
Done.
Okay.
Sorry about that.
Okay.
E3 guys, bring it lots of text messages.
Okay, well, it happened. First reactions, I'm going to go around in a circle. Donald, what was your immediate reaction upon seeing the Nintendo E3 2015 digital event?
They were doing decent. I mean, it's kind of hard to beat The Last Guardian, the Final Fantasy VII Remake, and Shenmue 3 coming up in the same night. But they were doing some things that were really appealing to me. But, oh my god, did they blow the landing.
Yeah, that's a problem I think every single E3 press conference had this year, is that they didn't order their announcements the right way. Like, they put all of the stuff that should have been the last announcement at the very beginning, and then I think pretty much every single press conference ended slightly underwhelming as a result. Unfortunately, Nintendo was no exception. I definitely think Star Fox should have been at least the last game if they had nothing else. But that's just me, maybe. James, what do you think?
I mean, I'm not sure that they hit anything at any point. Because I look at Star Fox, I don't feel like they gave it a lot of attention. They showed a couple minutes of it, but they didn't reveal that Platinum was a developer until after in the Treehouse Live. They didn't really show much in terms of... I mean, they showed gameplay, but it was kind of a supercut versus... Hey, we're going to go through and play a stage and really get you the opportunity to see what this game can do. They didn't really talk much about the game. They just sort of showed it in action and talked more about Inari shrines and the importance of arches in Japanese mythology. It feels like they saw what they did during during last year's Nintendo Direct, where they did things like they went to the yarn store where they talked about the Yoshi stuff and just went way too hard on that. Ultimately, in that one, while they were talking about Yarn and Yarn's properties, they were talking about the game. It feels like in this game they spent more time talking about, or this direct, they spent more time talking about the background versus the game. And that sort of removed the impact of what should be a pretty exciting title. Beyond that, though, it was a hard slog through that thing. I mean, we have two Zelda 3DS games announced. One of them is a port of a Wii U game with a guy who turns into a boat added. The other one is Zelda Four Swords Adventure version of Link Between Worlds, but with 3, because when they did 4, it screwed up the 3D effect. Yeah. Okay, I mean, those are both solid, you know, second tier announcements, but I don't think they did them any favors by announcing them in conjunction to one another like they did, and I don't think they spent much time talking about either in a way that allows them to stand out. Beyond that, you're down into things like, you know, Mario Maker, which they showed off tremendously well on Sunday, being sort of just thrown throughout the show as transition pieces, and things like Animal Crossing Happy Home House Arrest and Animal Crossing Amiibo Party. I don't know who their audience was for the show. I really don't. It just feels like it's lacking red meat.
Oh,
like,
sure.
Like a Zelda, maybe?
Well, no, it has a Zelda. It has too many
Zeldas.
Come
on, the real Zelda, the real Zelda.
These are all real Zeldas. I mean, the problem is, to me, that they had two, and they didn't want to love one child more than the other.
Mm.
But one ultimately is a port of a game from last year. The other is a new game. They should have spent more time showing what that experience was like, and maybe that would make me more excited for that game than I am right now.
Yep.
Sure. What about you, Nick?
You know, overall, it started off well. I was pretty hyped for the Star Fox reveal. It actually looks like a Star Fox game that I've wanted for the last 10 years, so finally they're making a good Star Fox game. But other than that, I agree with James, they sort of focused on showing bits of games and not really explaining them all that well. I mean, the Metroid Federation Squad or whatever it is, they put out a trailer and didn't really give us any details on it. I mean, we scrambled to try and write the news story on it.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, there was like 3 facts about it, and that was it.
It's coming out in 2016. It's a game on 3DS, and it's part of the Blast Ball game. All right. That's it.
Yep.
That's all we had.
Yeah, co-op online game or something, you know, but... yeah, they should have really gone deep on that. Like,
yeah.
Did we ever get confirmation that Metroid Prime game is from Next Level? Because that's what Dr. Metz was saying, but I don't know if that's 100%.
I was looking at the E3 press website before we started recording. And as of right now, it just says Nintendo, which can mean any sorts of things. But it's definitely not retro because, like, studios like Alpha Dream are attached to Mario and Luigi. Camelot's attached to Mario Tennis. If Retro was working on this game, or at least if they wanted people to know about this game, it would be listed as the developer, and it's not. Nor is Next Level.
They didn't talk... I mean, they didn't talk at all about the game. It's possible that Johnny and co. understood what's going on with this game prior to the announcement.
What about...
That can happen when you're actually on the ground.
It couldn't be NST?
It could be. Yeah. My guess, if the doctor is saying it's Next Level, it probably is.
Yeah.
I would guess they heard it firsthand from somebody who they've spoken to in LA.
Yeah, the other thing is, for Next Level, there was something that came out like a few weeks or a couple months ago where it was like they were looking for people to help them with like online infrastructure stuff.
Right, the LinkedIn profile.
Right, so that actually lines up pretty perfectly with this. Which, you know what, we'll talk about the game specifically in just a minute.
Hey, as long as it's not retro.
As long as there's still hope that they're working on a bigger game for some system that's single-player focused, preferably, but whatever. I guess this Direct was really a series of ups and downs for me. Like, Star Fox started it at a pretty decent peak for what it was, and then it got into this weird Zelda game that they spent a little too much time on, and that's when I got a little worried, like the Three Swords Adventures. And then they got to Animal Crossing, and then they showed a gamepad, and then they showed an Animal Crossing amiibo, and I got so excited, and then, like, it became Mario Party... And then Animal Crossing Happy Home Designer looks pretty good, which was a weird thing to find out. And then you got, like, the craziest announcement that there's a Paper Mario, Mario and Luigi crossover, which I audibly said, oh my god. And then it ended with nothing.
It ended with people dancing.
It ended with not only that Mario Maker is coming out on 9/11, but that their big reveal was a website for fucking send in Mario videos, please, and we'll donate to charity. That's their big Zelda U-clincher.
I thought we were going to dial it back and try to be more positive at the start of the show. Or we already just gone full in now.
The thing is, I don't think we're that... So, okay, before we started this, I said, guys, let's try to stay a little optimistic, which is tough since I'm being probably the most negative out of all of us right now. But the thing is, I don't necessarily think we're that alone in thinking, like, Nintendo did a lot of weird stuff here. Like, at least on Twitter, like... The bare minimum I'm seeing is, I guess this is one of those years.
Which is odd, because going into E3, I was fairly certain it was going to be, it seemed likely it was going to be a strong showing from Nintendo, but the video just came across as a bit out of sorts somehow. It wasn't as well put together as last year's one.
No, it wasn't as coherent.
No.
Consistent.
Mm.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So has everybody had their turn to say what they felt?
Yes, go ahead, James.
No, I just wanted to make sure. I didn't want anybody to miss their opportunity.
The floor is yours, Jimbo.
I'm not sure I want it. I don't know. There just seemed to be a certain, you know, but it almost felt like they went too fast in some ways. You know, we sort of celebrated them last year for just going beat, 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 and just jumping things at the right pattern, but nothing in this had any room to breathe except for, you know, Yoshi's Woolly World, which had a tremendous amount of time to just exist.
Mm.
Yeah.
And that's really all it was doing. It's a video that needed another pass. I think they could have salvaged some of this presentation, but ultimately it was in a weird spot because it was a worldwide presentation, but it was set up like a Nintendo Direct.
Yeah.
So they didn't want to talk about stuff that was already out in Japan, so we didn't get to talk about Xenoblade Chronicles X. I mean, we got a mention. Mm-hmm. We got a trailer. We got a release date.
December 4th, which is really interesting.
Very late. But we didn't get to dive into it, and that's kind of a tentpole of their lineup this year. That's the biggest game they're releasing this year, and at least in the West. It was already out in Japan, so they didn't probably want to spend much time on it.
Mm-hmm.
Fire Emblem, they've already talked about at length in Japan especially, so they didn't really want to talk about it here, and it's coming out next year, but in Japan it's coming out this year. So they went through the trouble of pre-recording this entire presentation, but then they didn't tailor it. So we get something like, you know, SMT Cross Fire Emblem, and they upload the trailer to their YouTube page, just transliterating the Japanese name of that game, as if that means anything to anyone reading the U.S. Nintendo YouTube page.
Genai Ibun Roku hashtag FE.
That is exactly what it says. And it doesn't give anyone anything. That trailer is way too Japanese to be just dumped onto a non-Japanese audience. Like, it's... It needs some kind of introduction and sort of step down afterwards, because whatever you put after that is just, people are going to be staring into the abyss because they just had to confront that. If they were going to pre-produce the video, there's no reason why they can't better tailor it to the market that video was being shown to, especially because they had a Japanese stream, but it was just this US stream with subtitles. To do some rethinking. If they're going to build a video around something that's tightly focused on a release window, that means you're going to have games that aren't coming out in some regions that are already out in other regions, and you need to make a custom video, or you need to blow it out and include more time.
See, just what you were saying there before, James, like how they're going through things quickly and not really elaborating on things. Maybe because Treehouse was such a success last year, that this year they decided, okay, we'll just put out the basics on the video and then everyone's going to watch Treehouse for the actual information, which is probably, you know, not a very good idea in the grand scheme of things, because most people aren't going to stick around to watch Treehouse all day. But that could be what they're thinking.
Yeah, and it probably is, but it's wrong.
Mm.
I have a job. I can't watch Treehouse for 3 days.
Exactly, yeah.
Yep. So let's move on and talk about the games that came out. And we're pretty much just going to go Wii U, and then... Actually, no, we'll mix it up a little bit. But we're going to do what Nintendo did, and instead of talking about Super Mario Maker last, we are going to talk about it first, because that is probably the most known quantity Nintendo has this year. So for Super Mario Maker, which, again, there is no way they're going to put this game out on, as they phrase it, the 11th of September this year. Especially when it's that anniversary combined with Mario. It's the whole thing. It's going to be like Star Fox 64 DS. There's no way this game comes out on this date.
What? It doesn't, like, I don't see the connection too much. I mean,
no, it's... Listen, I guess Star Fox had the R-Wing a few years ago, and that made it a little worse. But, like, I don't think it's a good idea for them to put it out on this date, and I don't think it's going to be at this date by the time it actually comes out.
Well, because they have to put the game out in September, because that's the 30th anniversary, and if they're going to do a... If they're going to do a Friday release date, that's one of four. I mean, I don't... They're not going to put something out going into Labor Day weekend, and they would want to have it out as soon as possible, because right now for North America, we're going to skip June, July, and August with retail games. They need to get it out as soon as possible. So really the only date they can put it on is unfortunately the 11th of September.
Devil's Third, I think that still might come out in August. Like, especially with Gamefly reporting it as, I think, the 28th. And they're usually not that wrong, as far as I know. We'll see. I mean, I guess at the same time, they are also holding this, like, 3 or 4 months before the game would come out. So they've probably gone through these gymnastics and are just hoping no one's going to draw as much attention to it as was the case with Star Fox when that happened. So I guess we'll see. But onto the game itself. The really cool thing that they announced today was not only the Super Mario 8-bit amiibo, which is super cool, and will either have too much stock or absolutely no stock. The coolest thing, I think, was the Mystery Mushroom, which allows you to put amiibos of other Nintendo characters. They listed Wii Fit Trainer, Link, and Kirby, I think, in the press release. And you're going to be able to put them onto the gamepad, and you will be able to play as those characters, a la Super Mario Crossover, pretty much. And they say there are going to be many supported. That's kind of an awesome thing.
Yeah, it's neat. I don't know that it gets us... I mean, that game's already got so much stuff in it.
Mm-hmm.
I would have rather they spent more time talking about level sharing and... You know, the stuff you can do besides just, hey, put a Goomba here and make that Goomba gigantic and then put the shoe and cover it in spikes. Like, give us an idea of what the package is like more than just, you know, the one action of create stage.
Yeah, I mean, what's happening with, like, single player content, or, like, are they going to have other modes within the game? They haven't talked about any of that, right?
Well, they've talked about it a tiny, tiny bit if you read the press release. They mentioned something...
But that's not talking about it, because nobody reads the press release except us.
But they did mention this thing called the 100 Mario Challenge Mode, which is what you need to do to unlock this amiibo feature. They didn't say anything about what it is. I'm guessing we'll see that during the Treehouse Live, or at least I damn well hope so. My guess is they probably made 100 Mario levels that we are going to play through, and hopefully that'll be real cool. Because there has to be some single-player content. I don't believe Nintendo is comfortable with the idea of releasing that many games without a single-player option. Like, even the Zelda game has a single-player mode.
Yes, it does. I'm not sure what they're comfortable with after this show, to be honest.
Okay, so...
You're more than I am.
I guess Super Mario Maker's exciting... I guess I was more excited about it during the Nintendo World Championships when we got to see some of those levels in action with the stacked enemies than the second run of this information at the presentation itself.
Yeah.
So, I wonder if they think this is a bigger deal than some of us think it is. And I think as a Nintendo website, it is obviously certainly a big deal. But the fact that they made this their Super Mario 3 game at the Nintendo World Championships, and then also made it the closing game of their digital event, means that they're really confident about this game.
I mean, they themed the whole event around it in a lot of ways.
Transformations.
Yeah, they themed it, and they themed the event around it and Star Fox. So, I mean, they think those games are super important.
Yep.
But I don't feel like they showed it. I mean, it came up a lot, but I don't really feel like they didn't devote a singular block of time to Mario Maker. It was lots of little pieces of information trickled throughout, and I feel like that sort of devalues the whole package, because ultimately them sort of combining together lets it seem like a more cohesive product in your head.
Mm-hmm. Yep, I agree. Moving on, The Legend of Zelda Triforce Heroes. It is a three-player multiplayer Zelda game that takes on the visual style of A Link Between Worlds. Players work together. It seems like it has like a slightly more comedic edge than previous Zeldas. You can dress up in costumes, and which allow you to, like, in straight-up Mario style, get different powers. Which is kind of cool. Not the game for me, but I'm sure it's the game for a lot of people.
Let's pour one out for Purple Link.
Yeah.
It's Link Between Worlds 2, I guess.
Yeah.
It's all about costume changes.
Yeah. There you go.
I don't know. I guess it's still too early to really to call it if we're going to be interested in it or not. It's going to be one of those games that might sneak up on us and surprise us when it actually comes out and people actually get to play it.
Yeah, I wish they had really given that game more time.
Mm-hmm.
But, I mean, that game is more interesting than Hyrule Warriors 3DS simply because it's not a thing that's already out on another system. And it was weird to me that they didn't understand that.
Mm. Yeah.
I'm kind of interested to see what they're doing with that game, because I probably am going to be able to do the multiplayer with it. The only thing I'm concerned about is, I mean, IGN just had a statement from Miyamoto saying they had something cool for Zelda Wii U, and they just elected not to show it this year. So this is going to be the pressure moment for this game, and I have the feeling it's going to get an undue amount of hatred because it's not Zelda Wii U.
Yeah.
Maybe. I think people can compartmentalize enough that they understand that this game's existence does not preclude Zelda Wii U from having been here. Hyrule Warriors may get that, because Hyrule Warriors seems like an utterly superfluous event in a lot of ways.
Yeah.
Just because it already exists.
It also feels a little bit like, for this entire presentation, like they're kind of throwing confetti at the audience and then running away. Like, we don't have anything tangible for you, so here's two Zelda games that we can push out for this year instead. And here's a lot of music, really loud music we're playing, so you forget that we're not closing with Zelda this time.
Did you want two distinct Animal Crossing games, neither of which are actually Animal Crossing
games? We can talk about this right now, because I really love Animal Crossing, and I was so sure we were going to get our Animal Crossing Wii U game, and you know what? We did. This is our Animal Crossing Wii U game. I don't think we're getting an Animal Crossing Wii U game instead of this. I think this is it.
Alex, welcome to hell. Population board games.
It's okay. It's me, Johnny, and all the other Metroid fans can stay down there together.
I look forward to when we have to play this very skill-based board game that requires the purchase of Amiibo that will be almost impossible to get a hold of.
I don't see
how this plan could ever go wrong.
You know what this entire Direct was? This is like all those like cartoons and movies where a character summons a genie and then you wish for something and then they give you what you wished for but not in the way you wanted it.
It's the monkey paw of Nintendo announcements.
I need a turkey sandwich with ham and rye on rye bread with no mustard.
You're just getting a whole pig.
Yep.
And he's rabid.
Yeah.
And he requires Amiibos to be eaten.
So, talking Animal Crossing, Happy Home Designer is coming out on September 25th. It seems like it's got a similar situation to the way it was unveiled in Japan, where there's going to be the bundles with the NFC if you want. There's also going to be the regular edition, which comes with a complimentary Amiibo card. It seems like the game is at least slightly more of a full Animal Crossing game than they initially let on. Like, they were showing you with the capability of walking around, They were showing you with the capability of going around town, it seems like, making new buildings. To me, this seems a little bit like Tamagotchi Life, but like made into an Animal Crossing experience. As in, it won't necessarily be substantial, but the pleasure of play, I guess, will come from you making everything yourself and just the raw customization.
Just keep selling yourself on that, Alex.
I'm trying.
If you talk about it enough, Federation forces will turn into Metroid Prime 4.
That'll be the next thing we talk about, I promise, James. And then we got Animal Crossing, what's it called? Amiibo Festival. Yep. In which it's Mario Party. This is our Animal Crossing Wii U game, everybody. It's Animal Crossing Wii U.
If they even knew on the name, it's just called Animal Crossing. Gotcha!
You know what? I will tell you my exact reaction as I watched this trailer. First, I saw the amiibo. Then I saw it tap on the gamepad. Then I saw the world of Animal Crossing in HD. Then I saw board game pieces.
What's amazing is this is the amiibo mode from Mario Party 10. The 10th Mario Party. You know, number 10.
Yep.
The 10th time they've done this. Except it's not, because it's a GBA game, a DS game, and multiple Wii Party games. And said, you know, this is getting stale. Let's put Animal Crossing on it. Problem solved.
Okay.
This one, in Animal Crossing, they politely take turns. There's no running about and stuff, you know.
Oh, hold on. I believe it's your turn.
Okay, oh. Now, is this game going to be free to start, given the fact that you need at least one amiibo, I assume, to play it, and probably all four of them?
Nah, I think... I bet they're going to come up with some way to be able to put it in a box and charge $50 without an amiibo. I think they'll come up with something.
If you buy the cheap version, you just get a paper amiibo and then deal with it.
You know what? They did, I think, announce, if I am reading the information correctly, that, yep, so it will launch as a bundle that includes the game, two amiibo figures, and three amiibo cards. So it is compatible with the cards, and it is launching with at least two amiibos.
So, pardon my French, but those motherfuckers are going to put the exclusive amiibo cards in that bundle.
Well, of course they are. What are you talking about? You want Isabelle? You buy the game.
And that is how this. Animal Crossing Amiibo Festival became the best-selling Animal Crossing game of all time.
Also, it's $150. Deal with it.
It's Animal Crossing v. Rock Band v. Guitar Hero.
But wait, so does that mean they're not going to sell this game digitally?
I doubt it, I guess.
They can't, unless they're going to mail you the amiibo.
The thing is, like, I don't know.
Oh my god.
I don't know that I want this game, but, like, I really want the KK Slider amiibo. So
Alex has already signed up for the Sights Review copy.
I guess so. I'm so fucking defeated by this game. Because if this was the only Animal Crossing game that was announced, I would say, you know what? Maybe next year we'll finally get that Animal Crossing game. But we got two spin-offs during this Direct. There's no way you can spread that EAD studio more thin between Splatoon and two Animal Crossing spin-offs. There will be no Animal Crossing Wii U game.
Well, you know, that kind of backfired on the Wii. I mean, they put out two very similar games. Maybe they just don't want to have two really similar Animal Crossings again. I mean, what are they going to do? They're going to have to try and come up with new stuff for the game, right? I mean, just putting out another 3DS Animal Crossing on Wii U is not going to be good either. So, what do they do?
Yeah.
I think it's great. What are you talking about?
You know what? Actually, if we can get a little serious, like, looking at the game, like, kind of objectively, it does look more interesting than the last few Mario Parties I've seen. The dialogue
is... What standard?
The Animal Crossing, like, it's got the visuals, it's got the cutesy... I'm so sorry, guys, let's move on.
I like that you just realized you've fallen into their trap.
I feel like Nintendo's, like, got me in the palm of their hand. Like, I'm literally eating out of Iwata's hand right now.
We're announcing Animal Crossing Amiibo Viewer. Tap your Amiibo, then you get to view your Amiibo in 3D on the gamepad. But I'm holding it by the game. All right.
But it's not so bad. At least I'm not in the pits of hell alone. We got Metroid Prime Federation Force, everybody.
Everybody's unhappy today.
Up to four players. Go ahead.
I just mean, like, adding the Prime bit onto it just rubs salt into the wound. I mean, they could have called it Metroid Federation Squad or Force or whatever. They added Prime to it.
Yeah, but they're aping that Hunter's look, so they had to keep the Prime.
My favorite thing about this announcement is the next episode of Radio Free Nintendo after you guys come back from E3. And Johnny has to put a check for it. Go ahead.
I've got John and Greg tonight, so look forward to that. I've got them separate, though, so I get to blow up one of them, and then I get to blow up the other one right afterwards.
This is the grand return. This is the reboot of Metroid that we all asked for.
Yeah, this is the Metroid you are waiting for.
I wish they just called it Metroid.
Metroid 1.
Metroid is now a MOBA.
Just Metroid Prime. That's all they called it. Or Metroid Prime 4.
New Metroid Prime.
Just call it Metroid Other M again.
Super Metroid 2.
Metroid 5.
Let's try and get on track and talk about the game a bit, eh?
You know what? This is Metroid Dread. This is Metroid Dread.
So, I mean, I would legitimately like to talk about the game, but the problem is, again, they only showed about, you know, this much video of actual gameplay, and it was just the squad moving in circles around a target and shooting it. I want to see what the structure of that game is. Is it just a hall shooter? Is it like you know, monster traps? You walk into the room, there's a bunch of enemies, you kill them, the door open, you go to the next
room. Is it just an arena?
What is that game?
Mm. It doesn't even seem like Samus might not even be in the game.
Yeah, I mean, with the name, Federation, was it Federation Forces?
Yeah.
I would expect her to not be. Mm. Or if she is, just to cameo through it. Because ultimately, like, are they trying to pull a... Actually, it's kind of an apt comparison. The Republic Commando style game, where there's going to be like legitimate exposition of this squad, because that would be fine. Like, if that's how you want to do it, great.
Maybe.
But if it's just a team shooter and you clear out, you know, not dungeons, but clear out abandoned space stations of space pirates and goons. Every Federation soldier we've ever met in the Metroid franchise is a jobber. So I don't expect this to be particularly exciting. Well, I don't need Left for Metroid Dead, as it were.
That really should be the title of this game. Just Metroid Dead.
Metroid Take out Left the for R. Dead, yes. Left for Dead, colon, Metroid.
Dead Space.
Jeez.
You know, I hope there's a third mode in this game, just Metroid Pinball. Just throw that in as well. May as well.
Sure.
Federation Forces Pinball. Excuse you. It's just a helmet.
Federation helmet
rolling through the stage.
Well, let's talk about a positive announcement. Skylander Superchargers.
Oh yeah, that's great.
Has Amiibo support. And you know what? It's actually
no,
like,
it doesn't.
It's fucking.
It has.
Yeah.
It's not. It's got dual mode. It's not even Amiibo.
I think this is actually cool. I want these Amiibos, and I don't want the game. Like I want like Magma Bowser. I think that's a fucking awesome transformation for him. Like,
you want your Chimera Amiibo Skylanders?
Yes! And you know what? The Donkey Kong one where he's going around the world of Skylanders and throwing the barrels like classic Donkey Kong? That was cool. I will never see it because I will never play this game, but I support this. This is something I can support. Skylander Superchargers is something I can support in the Nintendo Direct. Hammer Slam Bowser.
It is cool. Yeah. It is pretty cool. I mean... Like, just having the exclusive characters is at least something. Like, some people may decide to buy the Wii U version just for those. I mean, some Nintendo fans, you know, would like that. Mm-hmm. But I think it's interesting that the Amiibos do have the dual mode as well, the switching twist on the bottom of the figure to make it a Skylander or an Amiibo. You know, that's kind of cool, but maybe they could have just not bothered with the Amiibo part. I mean, because like when it's an Amiibo, is that just going to mean it can be used in Smash Brothers and other games? Or...
Yeah, I mean,
I mean, what is it switching? Like,
I'm guessing they have bases. They have two of the chips in the one for the Skylander
base,
but
they use NFC. Can't they both talk at the same time?
Yeah, but they would have to decode different information, right? The protocols would be different.
Yeah, I'm just saying, can't they have both chips talking at the same time and just go, I don't care about this amiibo thing, I'm looking for the Skylanders.
It could literally be a switch that just changes. Think of a light switch, but just between the two modes.
I'd laugh if they put something like, I don't know, a classic scenes from a classic Spyro game in amiibo tap, just to really twist the knife when you put this thing in amiibo mode.
Yeah.
God, things get dark.
Let's talk about something I am actually very positive about that I was very negative about last year, and that is Yoshi's Woolly World. I am, pretty happy about what I'm seeing about this game. I think this is, the second successor to the original Yoshi's Island. Like, there was Yoshi's Island, Yoshi's Story, and I think this is, the third next step in that, lateral evolution. This looks like a proper Yoshi's Island game that they care about, that they're actually putting heart and thought into, and that's from someone who didn't like Kirby's Epic Yarn that much. It seems like they're really trying really hard to not only do right by Yoshi, but also, do right by criticisms or at least desires of people who played Epic Yarn.
I mean, that game is Yoshi's Island. That game is Yoshi's Island, ultimately.
Yep.
If you like Yoshi's Island, you will like this game.
It seems it's a handful challenge, too.
Yeah.
You can choose your challenge level. You can make it easy or you can make it hard. I mean, it's perfect.
Yeah. I'll let my yarn hard.
October 11th, Yoshi's... Yoshi's Yarn.
And I can finally play as Ness in something that isn't Earthbound or Smash Brothers.
Yeah, it's... You know what?
You play as Ness Yoshi.
Yeah, I'll take it.
Oh.
In my attempt to force Pokemon Super Mystery Dungeon into every single episode of Nintendo News Report, I have to mention that the game has been moved from winter to holiday 2015. Which they didn't mention it in the direct. I think they saved that for the last one. But if we're continuing the theme of genies giving you what you wanted but not as you wanted, this is the Pokemon game this year.
What's the distinction between winter and holiday?
Winter would
Toad
be December.
Was originally, listed as winter, I think.
Yeah, winter is December. Holiday is November, basically.
Yeah. Yep, that sounds right. That's
okay.
In winter, they could have made that February, and it still would have counted.
I said winter 2015, though, right?
Yes, but also...
We've already had that February. Yeah. I don't know.
It's a whole confusing thing.
It's a mystery. I don't want to do this anymore.
It's a super mystery.
How do I eject? Where are we doing now?
You know what, James? Well, we can play this game together when...
Okay, what game are we playing? Because I'm not sure.
Pokemon Super Mystery Dungeon.
Oh, God, no. No. I've given up 100 hours of my life to that series. That was enough.
I'm glad
James
that we have
a podcast. Flashbacks here.
I'm glad we have a podcast where the person who loves Pokemon Mystery Dungeon most in the world and the person who hates Pokemon Mystery Dungeon most in the world can be together at last. I can't wait. I can't wait for you to buy this game, James.
Well, that's good, because you've been waiting a very long time.
No, James will get it sent to him by somebody. I mean, he got both versions of Sonic Boom, so...
He got both versions?
No, I didn't, thank God. I got the bad one. I will press charge. I got Shadow the Hedgehog instead. That was...
Oh, right.
I'm a little surprised that we didn't get any Pokemon announcements for this year. A little bit, not even Pokken tournament for, next year. Not even, that kind of tease. Which means that game's probably way off, too.
I mean, that game hasn't even come out in arcades yet in Japan. Mm. They probably don't want to talk about home retail release of it just yet.
Sure.
You know, we'll probably get a direct in August or something, and they'll blow a Pokemon game then. They'll just say, oh, here's Pokemon next version.
Right.
Well, don't they usually announce those on, that...
TV show.
I can't believe... Yeah, that Pokemon Variety Hour on Sunday.
They've
Pokemon
killed that, actually. They've put out... The last couple of games have come out in the form of a trailer and an announcement in Korokoro magazine in Japan.
Oh, I thought you meant they killed the show, and I was going to think that the world made sense again, but no.
Right, so Pokemon's weird. It's got a weird history with these announcements.
Yes!
I'm not going to spend too much time on this, but as Donald was saying, as, like, Pokemon Heart Gold, Soul Silver, and Pokemon Black 2, White 2, those were announced through their Japanese TV show and through KoroKoro, 100%. When Pokemon X came around and Pokemon changed and became fully worldwide, which Pokemon Black 2 and White 2 were moving towards, they decided to make a worldwide direct to accompany it. And then with Pokemon Omega Ruby and Alpha Sapphire, I think they were panicking because of like the low sales that were happening during that time frame. And then they pushed out a worldwide trailer that was teasing the game where it got fully revealed at E3 of last year. But it seems like those announcements are going to be worldwide and heavily coordinated from now on. So, there you go. Moving on, Yo-Kai Watch, another positive thing.
Oh, there's your Pokemon game.
There's the 2015 Pokemon game.
That's why they're not doing one. They've already got two monster collecting games.
You know what, though? I'm pleasantly surprised that this is coming out this holiday season, because I expected it to come out, like, April or May of next year. And I do really want to play this, because you know what? I want, like, alternatives to Pokemon. They're trying to do what Pokemon does, but in their own way. And this seems like it's it. Hopefully the voice acting isn't as bad in the final game as it was in that trailer. But, I don't know. It sounded like a Saturday morning cartoon, but it was a video game, and that really bothers me.
It is a Saturday morning cartoon. It's a transmedia property. There's that phrase again.
Transmedia proper. It's going on the subject of transformation, I guess. It's, you know what? This game looks cool. A lot of people really love it. Hopefully I'll love it too. Let's talk about Fire Emblem Fates. Two versions of the franchise's new installment. So they're officially saying it's two versions of the installment. They're still not saying if it's going to be sold separately or together. I'm guessing it'll be separate. It's...
If they list it like that, it's coming separate.
Yeah, and then that's coming. That's coming 2016. It sounds like because of Biltron's phrasing, like how it's 2015 and early 20, which is exactly the face he makes every single time. Yep, this is probably going to be a February game. So I thought the trailer was cool. I like that clincher where there was like that weird Fire Emblem monster that was also a person. Who was like, yes. if you kill me in your real... I thought that was pretty cool. I don't know. I want this.
They just showed a trailer, though. Like, I expect them to show gameplay and explain what they're doing. I understand it's Fire Emblem, but it sounds like they're changing stuff up. They've done a lot of that, you know, talking about that game in Japan, which makes sense. It's coming out fairly soon in Japan.
Two weeks from now.
Mm-hmm.
Or next week, actually. Sorry.
But it would have been a good time for us to see that stuff, because ultimately the only reason we know about it is because people who speak Japanese and speak English have translated it for us. You know, give us that gameplay demo where you talk about some of the changes you've made from Fire Emblem Awakening. Introduce some of these characters that you're showing on screen versus just doing supercuts of the FMVs.
Mm-hmm.
You know, make that a game, not a TV show.
This seems like one of those games, though, where there's a chance that either later today or even close to right now or tonight or tomorrow or Thursday, we could hear a little more specifics on that game. Like, stuff can come out about that game, I think, that, like, didn't come out in the press release. Like, someone can ask someone the right question, the right person the right question. And I think we'll learn a little bit more about this game this week. That's just my general guess.
I'm not so worried about us not ever getting to find out this stuff. Mm-hmm. It's just... this is the time when all eyes were on them, and I think that game would have been, if positioned correctly, important to giving a positive impression of how their show went.
Mm-hmm. And then there was also, is it Ganai Ibun Roku hashtag Fire Emblem? Is that literally what it is?
It's not Fire Emblem crossover. Let's not...
Yeah, let's simplify
this. It's the hashtag Fire Emblem crossover. It's a drive club, everybody.
Hashtag Fire Emblem.
Fire Emblem
Club. That trailer is bonkers.
It's wild. I think I'm, like, interested in it in the same way I'm interested, or I was interested in Shin Megami Tensei 4, as in none of the stuff that has to do with Fire Emblem. I assume all of these characters are original characters regardless of what their name, even if they're not. That's how I'm going to probably treat this game.
They're original characters, and then I think they named like the voice actors as if we care.
They did have a couple of characters who share names with people that are in Fire Emblem, Crom and Tiki, but it's entirely possible that those are completely different characters created at a whole cloth for this game.
Yeah. Yep. It's coming out 2016. And then, James, tell me how excited you are about Xenoblade Chronicles X coming out on December 4th.
I mean, kind of. Like, weirdly, they spend so little time talking about that game recently that it's kind of hard for me to put a hype on it.
Because
that game should be exciting. Like, it looks, I mean, when we've seen it in action, it seems exciting. But it's also been out in Japan for nigh on 2 months at this point. So some of the energy around it has been deflated slightly. And ultimately, they didn't talk about it. I mean, it's really frustrating. Like, I don't expect them to do this. I expect them to talk about games.
Mm-hmm.
And they chose not to.
Which
is kind of upsetting and kind of deflating.
Yep.
I kind of thought Xenoblade might have come out earlier than that. Like, at least October or November.
Yeah, it is late.
Yeah, I was writing October for most of the year here as when I get to play Xenoblade, and now it's coming out. If Persona 5 comes out as it's currently scheduled to in 2015, I might be playing Persona 5 before I play Xenoblade, and I never thought that would happen.
Yep. Yeah, if they come out at the same time, I'm definitely going to be playing Persona 5, but I still really want this. I mean, Xenoblade Chronicles was an amazing game, regardless of anything we're hearing about the people who've played Xenoblade Chronicles X, which...
The person you're thinking of thought Time and Eternity was a classic, so take that with an entire salt lick.
So I'm not expecting it to be boring or whatever, like the Kotaku person said. I don't think it's going to be like that, but I am listening to people whose opinion I do at least pay more attention to. Like, I respect Danny Bivens' opinion, especially, and he's... What it sounds like from him, he's going to have a review sooner or later, but what it sounds like based on his previews that I've read is that, like, it's a very, very good game. That's, which, you can take that however you want. I would take it both ways, as that's intended, especially compared to the original Xenoblade. It's going to be a very good game. It might not be Xenoblade Chronicles, but it's not going to be like the Kotaku person said it was either, I don't think.
Well, I mean, ultimately, what we've learned about this game, although not through Nintendo's help, is that it's much less narrative-driven than its predecessor.
Yep.
It's much more about exploration and discovery. I mean, to me, that's actually a little disappointing. I enjoyed the moronic plot of its predecessor. I mean, moronic is the right word.
Yeah, no, that's a compliment, too.
Yeah. Oh, in this case, yeah. I mean, that game set out to be the dumbest thing you will play that year, and it succeeded.
Yep. 100%.
So I'm a little disheartened to hear that that's not there, but I'm also kind of surprised Nintendo's not willing to talk about that. Like, this is your big game.
Yep. I 100% agree. Moving on to our last... regular game before we move on to the two more exciting ones. Mario Tennis Ultra Smash is coming out by Camelot. You can use giant mushrooms to make characters bigger, and then their tennis attacks are stronger when you do that. And that's coming out during the 2015 holiday season. Okay.
Sure.
Yep, Mario Tennis. I like Mario Tennis. I hope they don't go too crazy with the items and power-ups, because Mario Tennis is, to me, at its best when it's actually a tennis game. I don't really like all the extra fluff that they throw in to try and spice up tennis, because it just gets in the way.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like there's a Smash Brothers joke in here somewhere.
Mm. Yeah. But, you know, I like the N64 one the best, because that just had a really tight tennis game in it. And then the GameCube one was a lot slower, and they added a lot of power-ups and items.
At least with Amiibo Festival and this, there's more first-party games announced for this year at Nintendo's thing than there were at Sony's last night.
Yeah.
Let's not try to equivocate here.
Well, I think there's an interesting discussion to have about the two directs, because it feels like Nintendo and Sony ended up on, like, opposite sides of the spectrum for this these presentations. Sony did the stage conference, and Nintendo did the digital event. What Sony did was they played to the audience by showing a lot of stuff that is not coming out in the next 12 months, and they have no games at all for this year. But the stuff they did show that's coming out in the future, like, I was at the Sony, like, movie theater thing last night. Final Fantasy VII got a standing ovation, and it was in a movie theater. Like they said some crazy cool stuff. Nintendo, on the other hand, they're playing it a lot more realistic. They're saying, here's what we can show you in the next 10 months. Here's what we actually have. We don't know if it's much. We don't know if it's enough, but here's what we got, and at least these are tangible games you're going to be able to play soon. But they didn't show anything like Zelda that you're not going to play soon, but it's super, super exciting. So I guess both the companies made weird compromises. Some not compromises that they did by choice, but it's pick your pleasure or poison, I suppose, in this specific case.
I think you can do both, though.
Yeah.
You can say, we're going to focus on these games that are coming out before next E3.
Mm-hmm.
And really, you know, feature those, which I don't think they did. I don't think they did a good job of even featuring those games. But you could do that, and then in conjunction with that, throw in a couple pieces of just like, hey, this thing's not coming until late 2016, but look at it.
Yeah.
They showed us Zelda last year. I mean, they obviously didn't care then. I mean, I refuse to believe they earnestly believe that game was coming out in 2015, a year ago.
I'm pretty surprised that they didn't put some form of a Zelda trailer at the end. It didn't have to even be that long. It could have been 30, 40 seconds of just some new footage, just some music, just to say, you know, this is the end of our video. Be excited for Zelda next year. Like James said, they can focus on the near future games, but they should also throw some breadcrumbs about, you know, just to get people more excited. They needed that pizzazz at the end to bring it home.
Right. I mean, they could get away with it last year because they had Smash Brothers.
I think.
And they don't have Smash Brothers this year. They have Mario Maker. And Mario Maker doesn't have the same kind of energy. There's a lack of kineticism that's not present.
Yeah. I think Nintendo's in a weird place right now, especially since they openly talked about their platform that they're scheduled to discuss next year, which makes me think there's a lot of developers who are already shifted to NX development. There's obviously got to be. And I wonder if the Zelda team is one of them. Not full NX development. This game has to come out on Wii U, but I think they're working on a Twilight Princess situation for this game.
I don't know. That's an easy comparison to make because it happened in the past, but...
It didn't happen on Wii, though. Is the counter argument there? They didn't feel like they needed to do it on that case. They let Skyward Sword go out to die on Wii.
Yeah.
I don't know. I mean, we'll see in 11 months, 31 days, and like 21 hours.
Yeah, I think regardless of how this E3 went, E3 2016 for Nintendo is definitely going to be one to watch. And I would not be surprised if they actually tried doing a stage presentation again just for next year. I mean, they might not, because they already like to say, fuck the press, here's our stuff directly to the audience. But if there's a year for them to do... if there's a year for them to do this kind of thing, it's going to be next year. That's all. We got two more big games left before we share our final thoughts and close it out. What I think is the most exciting game of today, Mario & Luigi Paper Jam, the fifth game in the Mario & Luigi series developed by Alpha Dream, coming out in spring 2016. It's Mario & Luigi, but it has Paper Mario in it. which is a better way to phrase it than calling it a Mario and Luigi and Paper Mario crossover. This seems like very much a Mario and Luigi game that features characters and things you like from the Paper Mario series, which I'm so excited about. I did exclaim when I saw this the first time, like, holy shit, they're actually doing this. But I hope Paper Mario's okay as a franchise by the end of this. I hope Paper Mario's okay.
I missed most of the video on this. I was kind of hoping that the Mario and Luigi Mario and the Paper Mario and Luigi were going to meet up and team up. It's like two distinct entities of Mario and Luigi.
I mean, they are moving as distinct entities. Like, are they're... they?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
They move through the world as separate... Like, at one point, they show, you know, Mario and Luigi Bowser having an argument with Paper Mario Bowser.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. So and, that is happening. I thought Alex was saying that.
Yeah,
it was like,
this is full Fever Dream stuff here.
Oh, cool.
Yeah, the only thing really missing from it is Paper Luigi, and, well...
Which they advertised this as a Luigi game when they were actually, like, doing that little Mario crossover thing. Like, in between their trailers, if you noticed that. Like, Mario hit the block, did the question mark shroom, and then... So...
It's a weird game.
It's a weird game. Hopefully it ends up being very good. I don't know. Because I think my hope for this game is that they actually use the Paper Mario specific writing style and make that complement the Mario and Luigi writing style, which are slightly different styles of humor, I think.
Hmm.
I guess that's all we can really say about it. We didn't see that much of it.
Yeah.
The
story of the video.
Everything else. Yeah. Like everything else. We didn't see that much of it.
Yep, and then to close this off, Star Fox Zero, which is not a prequel, I guess, but just based on some Japanese stuff is the reason why it's called Zero.
It's the worst reason to name a game ever.
Yeah, it's Fox.
The kanji looks like a zero, so that's what we called it.
Man,
what?
Yep.
They've said that it's not a reboot, it's not a sequel, it's just like...
It's just a new game.
Is this a new game?
Yeah, but
it's a Zelda-style follow-up.
Yeah, and we did not see Slippy Toad once, so already game of the year.
We saw him in the trailer, we just didn't see him in the Muppet thing before that.
Yeah.
Yeah, Fox, Falco, Peppy, and Slippy back at it again. They got this new walker, and then they got the all-range modes coming back. They got new Landmaster tank stuff, they got gamepad stuff, which they were showing off last year, how... You can pretty much simulate the cockpit, and it's supposed to be like one of the most inventive forms of gamepad use so far.
It looks cool. Like, and I like all of the new vehicles. Wasn't there like a gyrocopter thing as well?
Yeah,
and
there was.
The transformations are like you can just seamlessly transform the R-wing into a mech, right? Is that what happened? Yeah, you can just transform when you feel like it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So that's really cool. I mean, like I said before, it's the Star Fox game, like a version of the Star Fox game that I've been wanting for ages. So,
right, they're making a new Star Fox game. Like, I think we kind of forget like how cool that actually is, that they are making a new Star Fox.
Well,
game.
And they announced that everybody's favorite developer, Platinum, is making it, which they haven't talked about multiplayer stuff. In fact, they've sort of explicitly not talked about multiplayer stuff. So, I don't know what's up there.
It's either going to be single player only, or they're going to patch in multiplayer later on. I think that's really all they can do. Platinum is four games on the go now.
Mm. Or they just haven't decided to talk about it yet. Like, I don't know.
So,
I don't know.
The thing that I'm sort of picking up from this, from a development standpoint, and I know jack shit about development, but I'm just thinking about the history of these guys. If I wanted a Star Fox game that barely existed a year ago to come out a year and a half after it was announced, and I had to pick two developers who could get an extremely fast turnaround time while still maintaining quality, I would choose Nintendo and Platinum Games. Those are the exact two people I would make to make a good video game with a fast turnaround time. So I think on a very practical side of things, this makes sense too, that they're trying to do a full game.
Yeah, I mean, I want to play it. I really want to play it. I wish it was at the Best Buy event. Like, I wish it was that instead of Mario Maker.
But yeah, why not both?
Cool, because I mean, they said during the direct it's gonna be it's just Mario Maker.
I know.
Yeah, they've tried doing multiple games.
Because 2013 it was multiple games.
Yeah, and it
the problem was it also caused things to move super slow.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I don't know. Yeah. I guess just a couple notes from Nintendo's E3 before we slowly wind this down. There's an eShop sale going on now that's celebrating E3, where there's like multiple series on sale. I think you can get Mario 3D Land for like $20. You can get some games at like surprisingly good discounts for Nintendo. And then one of the ones I'm interested in that I might end up picking up is Fantasy Life for like $28, which is not so bad.
That's about the right price for that
game. That's the right price for it, especially since it's been kind of like holding at 40 pretty definitively for a while.
Yeah. And I think I'm probably going to grab Dream Team at 28, actually, or whatever the Canadian equivalent is.
Sure. And then Fatal Frame, Maiden of Black Water. That's the title now. That's coming out fall this year.
That's your red meat game for hardcore players.
Yeah. Yeah, it... You know, I think...
They did not give that game any air at all.
I mean, that game's pretty niche, I mean...
Yeah, I know, but... Animal Crossing Happy Home Designer and Animal Crossing Mario Party 10 Edition? I mean, yeah, they could have found the time to at least mention the thing. Zelda games.
I guess we should move on to the general conclusion for this. I guess... When I imagined what a slightly underwhelming but still pretty good Nintendo Direct was, what I thought a realistic one would be was, they start with Mario Maker, they go into Star Fox, the cool middle one, and then they close on Animal Crossing, which is still expected, but still would have been really good. Like, I was settling for Animal Crossing when I was imagining how this Direct was going to go. And then we're left.
You got it.
And it's... I got more than enough. I got everything I wanted and less.
Your animals got crossed.
Nintendo wins the Hyper Troll Get Award for the year.
I think if this was a Nintendo Direct, this would have been pretty good. If this was just a regular Nintendo Direct. As E3, I have the same problem I was having like on last week's Nintendo News Report. Which was Nintendo's, like, missing a major, like, AAA game that they can tie this holiday season together with. They still don't have it. What they
should have been Xenoblade. They should have been pushing that hard.
Mm-hmm. Right.
That's the holiday game.
Yeah. Star Fox is next year, isn't it?
No, it's
holiday.
Okay, yeah. Okay. Sorry, I edited a lot of news articles, so I don't remember what's what anymore. I mean, it should have been... This is Star Fox. Star Fox is really cool. This is Xenoblade Chronicles X. There's a lot of game here. Go buy them.
Yeah.
This year.
Yeah.
In November.
Yeah.
And instead it was... they could even throw Mario Maker. This is Mario Maker. It's really cool. It's coming out in October. Here's Star Fox. It's coming out in November. Here's Xenoblade X. It's coming out in December. Have fun.
Right.
And just peace out.
Yeah.
But...
Yeah.
They flooded it with games that... You know, when they were clearing the deck for the last couple weeks, you know, announcing things, we thought, oh, okay. They're just getting us ready because they've got something big coming. Like, oh, we're going to get Devil's Third out of the way. Well, yeah, I understand. Tomonobu Itagaki does not need to be part of your E3 presentation as he poses like he's a member of ISIS producing a video. No, that doesn't need to be there.
They cut that bit from it.
But you do... If you're going to clear the deck to this extreme... Which they did. I mean, they did the Smash thing ahead of time. That could have been in here.
Yeah.
I mean, reusing Smash Brothers. Okay. Cool.
Yeah.
That would have been a good thing to end on, actually.
Or open on. I mean,
it's
a good hype thing, but they didn't. They let it sit. They just left it out there, and ultimately it came to the conclusion they were clearing the deck because it's not that they didn't have a lot of things. They had about 16 games. It's that none of them target... us. None of them target their hardcore Nintendo consumer.
Except Star Fox.
Which, because there's so much stuff, they didn't let that game get the air it needs.
Mm-hmm.
Which sucks.
They still have, like, a not that bad holiday lineup just on raw numbers. Like, I think there's still 5 to 10 major games between 3DS and Wii U that are coming out by the end of the year. Or at least C plus, B minus.
Oh, God, that's not major. It's just setting...
I'm trying to, like, close it on a semi-positive note. Okay, like, all right. You know what? They have games that... Sony's exclusive this year are Call of Duty maps. That's Sony's exclusive this year.
Yeah, but they're games.
Right, no, they have games, but they don't have The Last Guardian this year. They don't have Uncharted this year. Instead of that, they have the Nathan Drake collection, which doesn't even have multiplayer in it. And I love Sony. Don't get me wrong, I thought they had a really strong presentation last year. But one positive thing we can take away is that at the very least, this holiday season, you're going to have Nintendo games to play. Which is not something you can say about all three of these publishers.
Yeah, I mean...
And here's the thing, Nintendo didn't say that. I think that's ultimately the failing here.
Right. Yeah. They didn't tie... Their final message shouldn't have been, let's play all this loud music so you forget that there's no Zelda.
It's Mario! People dancing to Mario music!
What it should have been is, Nintendo is still the best place to play. They shouldn't have mentioned the NX, because that just means the Wii U's dying, even though it could be. They should have just said, hey, here's exactly the number of games that are going to be coming out by the end of the year and on Wii U and 3DS. Look at all these great games. There should have been, like, a little thing behind them, and then maybe they should have closed on something that they didn't show during the show, like a Zelda trailer. I think if they just restructured this Direct, it could have been a lot better. If they just edited it, like James was saying, like, one more time, and just reordered some stuff around, and maybe added a thing or two. Like, it could have been stronger than it ended up being. But you know what? Nintendo has games this year. Which should have been their tagline, Nintendo has games this year, but instead it's mine. So, that's our show.
I just want to say, Sony's press conference was just missing a Sonic and Tails scene from becoming a total fanfic. Yeah. But I think what it comes down to is, when I saw what we were getting from Neil at about 2:30 in the morning this morning, my time, the last question I asked him, is there anything else? And the only thing they came in with was Shin Megami Tensei Cross Fire Emblem. That's great for me, not necessarily great for the wide audience.
No, that is not great for the wide audience. That's the nichest game that Nintendo's ever shown.
You know, I was kind of expecting like a HD remake or something, just to throw it out there, fill up the lineup a bit more.
Something.
Right.
Something.
Maybe a new 3DS game, like Mario Sunshine 3DS would have been a cool thing to put out this
Actually, that's the thing, like, there was no, like, big, this is new 3DS exclusive sort of thing happening.
It should have been Hyrule Warriors, but it's not.
No, it should be Federation Forces.
Actually, that's a good idea, too.
And we'll see.
I'm just going to say this one more time so we can end this on the most positive note we can. But at the very least, Nintendo has a lot of games this year. That's what we can take away, if nothing else. Nintendo has games this year. Oh my god, Animal Crossing. What the fuck?
Let's hope for quality to go with the quantity.
Yeah, yes. Hopefully this is better than any Animal Crossing there's ever been before.
I can promise you, last thought, this will be the best Animal Crossing board game you've ever played.
That's our show, everybody. Thanks so much for watching. That's E3 Nintendo Direct Reaction Nintendo News Report. I'm Alex Calafi, and I was joined by Donald Terrio, who is at Donald Mick, at DonaldMick. Donald Mick. We got Nick Bray. What is your Twitter handle?
I'm at NicholasNWR.
Okay, so that's NicholasNWR. We got James Jones at NWR James, or is that James NWR?
NWR_James.
NWR_James. I am at CULAFIA, last name, first initial, first name, Kulafia. And then watch Nintendo News Report every Thursday. Listen to Connectivity every other week. listen to RFN, especially this week because we got so much E3 stuff that's real cool. And then
all of our podcasts are on the RFN feed.
Yep. And then listen to Nintendo Free Radio because that's a good show too. That's our show this week, everybody. Thanks so much for watching. See you soon. Bye.
Bye.
Bye.